Good evening, everyone. Happy spring. It is absolutely gorgeous here in Western North Carolina. You are listening to UR Radio at Western North Carolina Community Media Center. And our show for the next hour is Conscious Co-Creating, Tools to Empower You. We'll be here again next Thursday evening from 8 to 9 Eastern. And then we're going to be moving to Tuesday nights from 8 to 9 Eastern. And so for the next hour, we're going to be discussing a few of the amazing processes developed by Michelle Wright of Paralandra, which is a nature research center. And my name is Louisa Dyer. I'm a holistic counselor and a metaphysical author and a Western North Carolina native, I'm happy to say. If you want to find out more about who I am and what I'm up to, you're welcome to visit my website at louisadyer.com. Or you can find me on Facebook under Truly Holistic Counseling. And during this show, actually, you can interact through Facebook on the page for this radio show, which is called Conscious Co-Creating Online Radio. And I can either respond during or after the show. And my intention in doing this show is to actually have fun while also being of service, to feel inspired, and to hopefully be inspiring by sharing all these tools that are available to us to help us thrive instead of just survive. So if you're interested in personal growth or spiritual evolution, or you just want to feel better, have more joy and peace in your life, then all the tools that you could possibly want or need to do that are available. We live in amazing times, for the first time probably in the history of humanity. Almost everyone has access to teachings and understandings and ways of being and tools and methods of things to do that will help bring you into that space of whatever it is you're wanting. Greater peace, greater love, greater joy. All the tools are out there. And over the last few months, we have talked about a few enlightened beings who are on the planet who happen to be my favorite teachers. David Hawkins, who wrote The Power Versus Force series. Byron Katie, whose work is actually online called thework.com. And Katie has written a number of books. Probably the most famous one is Loving What Is. And then Eckhart Tolle, who's also written a number of books. And Oprah did a 10-week video series with him on one of those books called A New Earth. And those videos are actually still on her website. Very wonderful things to watch. And so we've talked about those enlightened ones, and they all have websites and books, and they all teach very different ways of basically getting to the same place. And so there's always a way to, you know, you can find the way that works for you. Tonight, we're going to actually be talking about a different kind of teacher, one who works closely with nature intelligence and has developed numerous tools so that an individual can actually create better health for themselves. And that's better health on every level, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. We've talked about Michelle Wright and Paralandra for the last couple of weeks. And I think this might be the last time that we talk directly about her. Tonight, we're going to talk about flower essences a little bit more and two flower essence processes that are just really quite amazing. One called the body soul fusion process and one called the flower essence death process, which is something that you use when someone's dying to help their transition be easier. So Michelle Wright, W-R-I-G-H-D, created this place called Paralandra. And Paralandra is spelled P-E-R-E-L-A-N-D-R-A, Paralandra. And their website is actually paralandra-ltd.com. And they have a helpline that's open on certain days of the week. They have lots and lots and lots of information on their website so that anyone who wants to can actually take charge of their own health. Just their website is amazing. She offers a whole lot of tools that people can use. Some of them have no learning curve at all, really. If you can read and follow instructions, you can do it. Others have, you know, a medium level learning curve. And some take quite a bit of commitment to learn how to do. And I've been using the Paralandra tools for, oh gosh, probably since 2000. And I can tell you they really work. It is how I take care of my own health. using Perlandra's tools in combination with various forms of energy psychology, most notably the WOW process, which I helped co-develop. But anyway, the Perlandra products are just, they're numerous. The books that Michelle has written are also numerous, and I can almost promise you that reading any of her books will change not only how you view the world, but how you view your own self, your own being. She works directly with nature intelligence, and nature, it's a new understanding of nature. I've always had a connection, a communication, even with nature. Nature has absolutely, you know, being in nature and communicating and communing with nature has really saved my life many times, especially when I was a child. And since I've started working with Perlandra's materials, I have a very different understanding of what nature is and a very different relationship with nature. Everything that exists in form, basically, is nature. Nature is what provides the order, the organization, and the life vitality to whatever the form is. So whether you're talking about a tree or a flower, or whether you're talking about your body, or whether you're talking about a house, if it exists in form, then it is nature. And so when you work with nature intelligence, you're working with the part, the intelligence that holds the blueprint for that form. It's a very different way of understanding the world, and it makes so much incredible sense. And so Michelle has been working with nature intelligence and has, I think, started Perlandra in the mid-70s, spent some time at Findhorn, for those of you who are aware of what that is. And all of these books and all of these processes that she's come up with are listed on her website. You could probably spend 3 or 4 hours just looking at everything on her website. 2 weeks ago, we discussed MAP, which is M-A-P. It stands for Medical Assistance Program, and that's something that she came up with as a way that each person can have assistance with their health, and it's a fabulous process. I recommend it to every client that I've worked with, pretty much. I recommend that they do MAP. And something called ETS Plus, which you can also order from their website. For any of you who have ever heard of Rescue Remedy, which was a Bach, Richard Bach flower essence, it's been around for a very long time. I had used it probably for 20 years myself. And when I discovered Perlandra's ETS, which stands for Emergency Trauma Solution, pretty quickly I started calling it Rescue Remedy times 100. So if you don't do anything else and you do want to take better care of yourself health-wise, whether that's physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual, those are the two things that I would recommend, because there's no learning curve, really. Those are what I meant by if you can read and follow instructions, those things would be very helpful. The MAP, M-A-P, the MAP book, and the ETS from Perlandra. So we talked about what those were and how they work, and I won't go into that again. We did that a couple of weeks ago, and then last week we talked about gut gardening because it was just before the first day of spring, and I don't know about anybody else, but I sure was outside getting my hands in the dirt. And we talked about her gardening workbooks. She has one gardening workbook that gives you a complete and thorough education in how to communicate with nature and how to work with nature in your flower garden, your vegetable garden, in your landscape, pretty much anything you want to do outside with nature. And then workbook 2 of the garden workbooks are all these energy processes that you can use in your garden, but you can also use in what Perlandra calls soil-less gardens, gardens that are not in soil. Because from nature's perspective, anything that is initiated and maintained by humans is a garden. Nature doesn't do gardens, but humans, you know, anything, a business, a relationship, a project, any endeavor really that you initiate and maintain, from nature's perspective, that's a garden. And if you set it up as a soil-less garden and work co-creatively with nature, you can get lots and lots and lots of help with any of those projects. I do it for almost everything I'm involved in. I have a soil-less garden, for example, to do this radio show. For my business, really for my whole life, because what better way to find out what is needed for the body or for the process or for the business than to ask the part of nature that holds the blueprint for that. And that's nature. That's nature intelligence holds the blueprint for everything that exists in form. And pretty much anything that we can perceive exists in form, including our thoughts. Our thoughts are actually form, and so are our feelings. And so we can work with nature about our thoughts and feelings, and it's quite efficacious, you know, efficient and effective. What we're going to talk about tonight is we're going to talk a bit more about flower essences in general, about Perilandra's flower essences specifically, and these two amazing processes that Michelle came up with in working with nature, one called the body-soul fusion process and the other called the flower essence death process. And just to alleviate any concern because of that name, flower essence death process, I'll just say a tiny bit about it first and then we'll talk about it more later. When my mom was dying, she was terminal, she knew it, and they really had given her a couple of days at most to live. And she had been in a great deal of physical pain, and we didn't really know that, but it was clear that she was in pain and agony because she moaned and she was agitated. And it was just, I mean, I was giving her, hospice was involved, and I was giving her morphine and Ativan together every 2 hours. And she was still moaning a lot. She was sort of, she wasn't comatose. I guess you would say she was semi-comatose. And I was actually having to administer those every 2 hours. And on a Saturday, everybody had been to visit her because her whole family came because they knew that, you know, she didn't have much time left. And that whole day on Saturday, she had really tried to interact with people, and she hadn't done much of it. She'd smiled every now and then. But anyway, once everybody had left and Mom was still moaning and groaning and I was still doing the Ativan and the morphine every 2 hours, and all of a sudden I remembered, this was in 2003, I remembered that there was this process in the Flower Essence book about dealing with death, and I had never even really thought about using it before. So I pulled out the book and I did the process the way she talks about it in the book. And it was miraculous. It was immediate. As soon as I did the flower essence death process, my mother stopped moaning. She stopped being agitated. And that was a late on, maybe like 6 or 6:30, late on Saturday afternoon. And from then until she took her last breath, which was all the way to the next Friday, which really was very, none of the hospice people could believe it. But regardless, from that moment until she took her last breath the next Friday, I didn't have to give her any more morphine or any more Ativan. The minute we did the flower essences death process, it's like she was in peace and she was comfortable. It was so startling. And I had been using flower essences myself, for myself up to that point, but I hadn't really started using them with clients yet. Because the only essences I had been exposed to prior to that were Bach flower remedies, and I used them all the time, but it had never occurred to me to use them with other people, to think of myself as a flower essence practitioner. But when I saw that, just how miraculous they were with my mom in that situation, that's when I was like, oh my goodness. And I let myself open to start using them with the people who wanted to. And now I really do consider myself a flower essence practitioner, and they're really quite astonishing. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about what flower essences are and how they work. And then we're going to talk about those two processes. And Michelle has written a book called Flower Essences. And again, that's Michelle Wright of Perilandra, Perilandra. And if you want to find them online, it's important to do perilandra-ltd.com. She's written a number of books, and one is called Flower Essences, Reordering Our Understanding and Approach to Illness and Health. And boy, has it ever done that for me. Basically, the flower essences, the modern flower essences, have been around since the mid-1930s. And they've been used by professionals and lay people with really amazing results. But I agree with Michelle that even though we've been using them since then, I really don't think we get it yet just how amazing they are. But she gives a definition on page 3 of this book, sort of a thumbnail sketch of what flower essences are. And it's a little bit intellectual, but I'm going to read it because I think if you really get every word, you have an idea of the breadth and the scope. But then we're going to talk about how they actually work and what they actually do in more layman-type terms. So this is Michelle's definition of what are flower essences. She says, flower essences are liquid, pattern-infused solutions made from individual plant flowers, each containing a specific imprint that responds in a balancing, repairing, and rebuilding manner to imbalances in humans on their physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual or universal levels. So that's really a whole bunch of big, big words. Basically, what flower essences are doing are working with the electrical system of the human body, and it's the electrical system that then works with the molecular level of the human body. And that it actually says it in the Bible, but Michelle has discovered this through working with nature, that the specific healing and balancing patterns that are vital to our health, to humans' health, have all been incorporated in the makeup of plant life. And those patterns are usually found in the flower petals of the plant. You know, it actually says that in the Bible, that God has given everything in nature that humans could possibly need in order to be healthy. And so I'm not going to talk about how flower essences are made because we're not doing all that. I just want to give you a hint of how they work. And so what happens if we're having some sort of disorder or dysfunction, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual, is that the corresponding electrical circuitry that goes up and down our spinal column, that breaks. It short circuits. And if nothing is done to fix it, then that the related network of nerves receives these weakened electrical impulses rather than the usual strong impulses. And those weak impulses travel down through the nerves to whatever areas of the body that they're going to. And immediately there is physical weakness in that area. And if that's not addressed, that's what results in illness or disease. Or when we get overloaded, when we feel, you know, something happens that we're shocked by or we're traumatized by, then that sort of does the same thing. It blows out the normal flow of electrical impulses. And if that's not addressed, or if we're getting too much of a flow, then we see hyperactivity, twitching, like restless leg syndrome. That's a really good example. And so there's this unique relationship between the plant kingdom and the central nervous system. And because of that, flower essences are a very efficient and dramatic way to reconnect that broken circuitry in the electrical system and rebalance that electrical dysfunction or overload. And so it stops that weakening domino effect that is what leads to illness. And even if you're too late to stop the illness from happening, once the illness is there, you use the flower essences. And what it does is it reconnects and balances that circuitry. And so then the body heals itself. And the thing about the electrical system that I think most of us really don't know is that everything that exists has an electrical field about around it. Whether it's a leaf on a tree, every cell in your body, every organ in your body as a whole, everything has an electrical field around it. And in humans, that we call that our nervous system. You know, the electrical system leads right into the nervous system, which is the spine. And from the nervous system, that's how everything on a molecular level in a human is handled. And so that's just a little bit about how flower essences work. They work with the electrical field, and they rebalance your electrical system, that is your nervous system, and that's how healing then happens. And Michelle has a she has a number of papers on her website where she has worked with nature and translated material from nature. And she has one called The Importance of the Biological Electrical System in Repair, Balancing, and Health. And nature is telling her the intelligence that holds the blueprint for all form is telling her this information. And I'm just going to read a couple of things to you. And I'm doing all this so you can really understand how incredible flower essences are and why they work the way they do. So sometimes it just seems miraculous how they work. What nature says is the physical electrical grid is the most potent healing and repair mechanism in the body. It both rebalances and revitalizes the body on molecular levels, from which the rest of the physical elements and systems follow. But then this is the part that I really think is cool. And it is the operating bridge between the physical body and the human soul. So our electrical field, the electrical grid that surrounds us, nature says is the primary system for marrying the soul and body into one cohesive functioning unit. And so when you repair or balance your electrical system, you balance and repair the body's ability to function well and to maintain the inflow and outflow dynamic between the body and the soul. So not only are the flower essences really beneficial on that physical level of the, you know, electrical system, the nervous system, the molecular level, but they're also affecting that communication between body and soul. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about when we come back from our little musical interlude, is that body-soul fusion and how that gets messed up sometimes, and how flower essences can assist in bringing that back together. And so I hope that wasn't all too boring. I find it absolutely fascinating. It is a whole new way to think about health, and it's something that you can do for yourself. There are hundreds of different kinds of flower essences now. I wouldn't even want to guess. There may be 1,000 different kinds. And I have tried a good many of them. And for me, Perilandra's essences are, they're just amazing. They're so clear and clean and so powerful and potent, and they're very specific. And I really like that. So if you're interested in flower essences at all, by all means, check out Perilandra's website. And again, we're talking about Michelle Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, and Perilandra, Perilandra. And their website is perilandra-ltd.com. And it is devoted to individuals being able to take care of their own health. I do some of these things that we've talked about with clients. Most of these things I encourage clients to do on their own. Not everybody wants to learn how to do flower essences or microbial balancing. And so those are some things that I do with people who don't want to do that themselves. But I think it's incredibly empowering to do that for yourself. And MAP, especially MAP, is a very simple, easy thing for anybody to do but on their own. No learning curve at all. So that's where we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the body and the soul being fused. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that flower essences death process that I gave a little example of earlier. You're listening to UR Radio. This is Louisa Dyer. Our show is Conscious Co-Creating, Tools to Empower You. And we'll be right back just in a moment. We're going to play a little Faith Rivera peace jam so that you can get your body and soul in a synchronized movement here. I think you're going to enjoy this. See you in a few.
Talking about that peace. That's right. Set your spirit free, y'all.
If we want to make a change, be the change we seek. If we get this thing called love, turn the other cheek, spin the world all upside down, maybe then we'll see another way to be. If we're gonna have this dream, wake tomorrow. judgment day. Yeah. Time for us to choose. We can win together now. But separately we'll lose. Given to the doubt and fear. We'll show that heaven's here. With every word we say. With every move we make.
Faith Rivera, Peace Jam. You're listening to UR Radio. This is Louisa Dyer. I am a metaphysical counselor and a holistic author, teacher, coach in Asheville, North Carolina. And we bring you this show, Conscious Co-Creating. We've been happening on every Thursday evening from 8 to 9 and will again next week. And then starting the first Tuesday in April, we will be here on Tuesday evenings from 8 to 9. And I will do an hour of music from 7 to 8, inspiring, wonderful music. And then the Conscious Co-Creating Show will be from 8 to 9 on Tuesday evenings beginning in April. I hope you join me then. And so what we've been talking about this evening, for anyone who might just be joining us, is Michelle Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, of Paralandra, which is a nature research center in Virginia. And their website is paralandra-ltd.com. And Paralandra is spelled P-E-R-E-L-A-N-D-R-A. And the reason I keep spelling that is because I've had two or three people not have a clue what I was saying when I said Paralandra. So I promised to spell it. And we've talked about all the different things that Paralandra offers so that an individual can take care of their own health, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual health. And we talked about MAP, M-A-P, a medical assistance program a couple of weeks ago. We talked about gardening out in your vegetable flower garden last week. We've talked a little bit about flower essences before, and tonight we're talking about flower essences again because we're talking about two flower essence processes that I personally have found have been amazing in my own life and in with some of the clients that I work with. And the first thing we're going to talk about is the body-soul fusion process. And it's a flower essence process. It's for newborns, infants, older children, and for adults. And before we can really, well, let me just say what it really is. Basically, you use flower essences to assist the soul to initiate the fusion process with the body. And the only reason the soul and the body wouldn't be fused is either because the mechanism for the body-soul fusion isn't there, and so you're helping to assist create that, or the mechanism is there, but for whatever reason it isn't working, and flower essences will assist with that. And so nature, again, Michelle has papers on her website about a lot of different things. And if you want to hear directly from Nature Intelligence, I highly recommend that you read those papers because they're just amazing. And one that she has is called the Body-Soul Fusion Process. And nature spends a good deal of time explaining about what this is, this whole body-soul thing. And so I'm just going to tell you from that paper where nature is talking. So what I'm saying here is coming from nature. Nature says that everything that exists in form, and that's everything that exists on planet Earth, everything that exists in form has two dynamics in it that come together to form one functioning unit. And one of those dynamics is the soul or the spirit. And the other dynamic is form itself, the elements from nature required to create the appropriate order, organization, and life vitality of that form. And so the soul inspirits, I love that word, inspirits the form. And that's what creates the one functioning unit. And so that coming together of the soul dynamic and the form dynamic, nature says, occurs through a magnetic-like action that is based on the principle of like attracting like. And so the seeding in of the soul to the form, it occurs first electrically and then molecularly. And that's why they say it resembles a fusion action. So when the soul and the form are merging, it happens first electrically and then molecularly. Molecularly. And so the body-soul fusion does not originate with the forces of nature. It originates with the power of the soul. The fusion of the body to the soul is initiated by and activated by the soul itself. The body receives the soul and then fuses with it. So it's not the body reaching out and getting a soul. It's the soul that's doing that. And what nature says that I think is so beautiful is that the fusion of the body and soul can be seen as symbolic of the sacred contract that exists between humans and nature. In order for the human soul to experience life within this band of form, in other words, in order for the human soul to come into a physical reality, it's essential that the soul combine with form and function as a working unit. And so that's what the body-soul fusion is. And it's that partnership between soul and form, between human soul and form nature. That partnership is, that's the sacred contract between, that nature actually has accepted in partnership with human souls. So the soul initiates, basically, and nature responds accordingly. And so the soul initiates that movement into a very specific level of form, nature says, prior to conception. And at conception, the soul force makes a magnetic-like link. What we're referring to is the egg here, nature says. So the soul initiates movement into a specific level of form before conception. Think about that. And at conception, the soul force makes a magnetic-like link with the fertilized egg. And that magnetic link continues to hold and strengthen as the fetal form and the soul begin to, they get to know one another. They begin to accommodate one another. The fetal form adjusts to the direction and the purpose of the soul, and the soul adjusts its expression to the dynamics of the order, organization, and life vitality that's inherent in that form. So in other words, what humans provide to that partnership between soul and form, humans provide the definition, the direction, and purpose. That's what the soul gives, is the direction and the purpose. Form, nature, provides the order, the organization, and the life vitality. And so there's this communication begins happening right away. And if it doesn't, if that magnetic link doesn't continue for whatever reason, if the form isn't appropriate, for example, for the soul's purpose and function, then nature says there will be a miscarriage. If there's any, that what a miscarriage really is the separation of soul from body and the disconnection of that magnetic-like link between the body and the soul. And nature goes on to say that in the normal development between human body and soul, fusion does not occur completely before the seventh month of pregnancy. And that's just because the electrical system in the human form isn't sufficiently developed yet. So there isn't a way for that fusion to completely take place. But usually by the seventh month, it is. Although sometimes it doesn't happen until birth. And that's just a personal preference, I would say, of the soul. And so the impetus and the initiation of the fusion between body and soul is always the soul's prerogative. It's important to know that. And so what nature says is that the final fusion between body and soul may occur any time after the seventh month of development and will usually occur as soon as the baby is capable of receiving that fusion, meaning as soon as the electrical system is capable of handling it. And so it's received by the body's electrical and molecular systems. And it just takes a few seconds to complete. Some souls wait until the birth process for the fusion to happen. It doesn't really matter about that. And what nature says is there are two situations in which the body and soul don't fuse. In the first, the soul has chosen not to fuse, despite the fact that the body is appropriate to that soul and is capable of receiving a fusion. At these times, the issue is not body-oriented. It is either environmentally or situationally oriented. The soul has perceived that the environment in which it is to be received after birth, or the situation, such as a family situation, has suddenly and radically shifted in a way that is either counterproductive or a threat to the soul's direction and purpose. So the soul makes a judgment and perceives a difficulty or a danger, and it chooses not to fuse. And so if the fusion doesn't occur, that original magnetic-like link remains, and a baby will be born, but it doesn't have a fused body and soul unit. And we'll talk more about what to do at that point. And that unfused soul can actually choose to fuse at any time after birth. And that usually happens within the first 2 years. Actually, usually in the first few months. And the second situation when the body and soul don't fuse is the soul actually chooses to fuse, but it can't. That the fusion process has a mechanism that for whatever reason is not working well. And so the mechanism problem can either originate from the soul itself or from the physical body. And that fusion mechanism is centered in the electrical system primarily, and it can malfunction prior to birth or after birth. And so the body-soul fusion process uses flower essences, which work in the human body primarily on the electrical system, to actually repair the mechanism. And so the body-soul fusion can be used to repair that mechanism or to actually just help the body so that the soul can initiate the fusion process. There are other times for older children and adults when, and this is what I have seen when I've worked with people around body-soul fusion processes, when we have situations that are so traumatic, so shocking, like children who were severely abused, children who had some great disaster or experience something that was so traumatic, or even adults, when something so shocking or threatening to our sense of well-being happens, then there is this desperate act of protection that happens, and we defuse the soul from the body. We don't do it. It's not our personality that makes that happen. The soul does that. If there is something that happens that is so shocking or threatening to the well-being of that individual, then the soul will actually initiate a defusion process. And that doesn't usually occur until we do what we think of as die. That's when our soul leaves this physical body behind, that defusion process happens. But if something really, really, really dreadful happens, it can happen, and the body will continue living. It's sort of a last resort effort to somehow for the soul to buffer itself from a situation that could render damage on the soul level. And so the soul actually initiates a release from that fusion. The person doesn't die, but they don't feel really connected with their soul any longer. And so the soul can initiate a refusion, and it will, and it does, whenever the situation changes or it becomes safe again. But there's a problem that happens, because humans, we have free will. And so our developed conscious personality may not want to be refused. You know, it's almost like, even though the soul will initiate that refusion process automatically, the conscious personality actually may prefer to be in sort of a numb, unfused state. It's like the personality has sort of become addicted in a way to this life-numbing situation of the body and soul not being fused. What I find with most people, what I would say, I've tested a lot of people for body-soul fusion, and in my experience, 3%, around 3% of the people that I've tested really don't, their body and soul are really not fused. The other 97% of people that I test, there is not good communication happening between the body and the soul. The body and soul are actually fused, but they're not communicating clearly. The body's not getting the soul's input, and the soul isn't getting the body's input. And that's happening because the electrical system is not functioning properly in that human, because a damaged or weakened electrical system really hampers the communication between the physical body and the soul, and it interferes with that integration of the soul's intent, which is what's vital. It's vital in physical human health, for sure, but it's also vital in terms of the soul and the body communicating. And so if the physical body, if the soul is not getting the input from the physical body, it's like the soul is providing the direction and purpose for the body's function and balance. But the body is a living organism, and unless it's giving the feedback to the soul about what's going on with the body and the environment and what it needs in order to function, then the soul cannot be providing what's actually required for that to be happening in a most beneficial way. So the soul is intimately linked with the conscious life of the individual personality. And so the personality level, when I say that, what I mean is it includes the physical body plus all action and interaction that we have with our environments, everything that engages us as a person. And so the soul has to receive clear and immediate input from the body through the electrical system for the input back from the soul to be like quality input. So the body needs the soul's input, and the soul needs the body's input. And what I've discovered in testing is only one person out of all the people I've ever tested for body-soul fusion, only one person was that communication happening the way it ought to be. 3% of people, actually, their body and soul were not fused. People who are in severe depression, severe apathy, addicts, people who have what I, as a psychologist, would call borderline personality disorder, where there's actually been a split in the personality. Those people have usually suffered some sort of major trauma, either in childhood or somewhere along their life. and the body and soul are simply not fused. It's rare. It's not real common. But what is common is that the communication between the body and the soul, it's not clear. It's not happening clearly because of what's going on with the electrical system. So the body-soul fusion process is a way to repair that electrical system so that that communication can be happening. So I actually, even though I call it body-soul fusion, I think of myself as doing a few body-soul fusion processes with people. And what I do a lot of is helping the communication and the clarity happen so that the body can receive the organization, order, organization, and life vitality from the soul, and the soul can receive, I think I said that backwards, so that the body and soul can communicate. Let's just leave it like that. And so the flower essence process itself is very simple. You test for what the soul needs to initiate the fusion process. You test for what the soul needs in terms of flower essences during the fusion process. You test for what the body needs, and then you just allow the body and soul to fuse, and the soul initiates that, and it happens very quickly. And then there is a flower essence solution that is given to help protect and maintain and strengthen that communication between the body and the soul.